This evening, it's good to have you here. Good to see you. Was the food good? Gordy. Remember, Carter likes hot dogs. If he comes and there's no hot dogs, he doesn't stick around.
That's me, everybody.
He's our hot dog guy. I'd like to thank the property committee for providing the meal tonight. And let's give them a hand. Even if they can't hear us, but I can't see them, but they're back in the kitchen probably cleaning up. Just want you to know that next week we do not meet Wednesday night, but we will meet Thursday night at the same time. There's no meal. There's no Lenten service. I mean, no meal at all. We'll start at 6 o'clock, and there will be communion because we'll be taking a little bit look at the place where Jesus gave the institution of communion that we call communion at that time. So I'd like to have a word of prayer before we get started, before we sing our first song. The first song is going to be Sweet Hour of Prayer. Did everybody get a bulletin? Well, you don't need a bulletin because you don't sing. I'll sit next to you and we can share. Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, for the meal, for the conversation, for the fellowship that has taken place. And now we have a time to just sing some songs that will remind us of what you have done for us in going to the cross. We're mindful, Lord, of those in our midst that come to our minds that need your touch in their lives and for you to bring healing to their bodies and to watch over them and those that are traveling back to give them travel mercies as well, as some can still want to get back here to Iowa and are doing some visiting or need some needed stops along the way before they get here. But we're grateful for this time that you've given to us where we can focus on the cross and what took place there. It was for us. Everything you did, Lord, what we hear about is because you care about us and that you love us beyond our own kind of love. And so may we be drawn to you in all that is said and all that is sung here this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First song is Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Thank you.
you're looking at prayer tonight, if you haven't figured that out. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, the famous, incredible place of prayer that was taken place, that had taken place there. I just want to read some scripture from Isaiah 53, verses that go along with really what goes on here tonight in our scripture reading of where we're going to go. Isaiah 53, verse 3, and I'm going to read the whole verse, but just part of it, and it's kind of just skip through chapter 53 of Isaiah. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was familiar with suffering. He was familiar with rejection. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was crushed for our iniquities. One of the things that I think of being crushed, I think of someone stepping on a rosebud. If you step on a rose blossom, or it'd be more than a bud, but if you step on it, it releases fragrance. Think of Jesus being stepped on, being crushed, and yet he gives a fragrance of salvation to those who come to believe in him. Going on, verse 10, it says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you know what intercession is? He prays for us. Of all the other things, he takes that time to pray for us, intercesses for us. Incredible. So that's from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Tonight I want to take you to the Garden of Gethsemane and first go to the scriptures of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36. And I'm going to just stop at verse 39 here because we'll cover the rest in the message here tonight. Matthew says this, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Who are the two sons of Zebedee? James and John. Along with him. So you have three guys. Peter, James, and John go with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says, you guys stay here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go over there. Away from you. And so he began to be sorrowful and troubled. This is talking about Jesus. As he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, he's starting to feel some pressure upon him. Then he said to them, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, he says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Have you sometimes felt that way? Probably wasn't anything close to what Jesus is going through here. But there's times in our lives where we kind of go like, man, I'd rather just die than to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And Jesus said to them, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Those are really the line that we remember the most. With Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's talking about a cup. He's the only one who can drink what's in this cup. None of us could, but Jesus will, and it's the first time where as he drinks it, it's just kind of like drinking poison. The sins of the world, where the sinfulness of the world comes in contact with the most holy person that has ever touched and walked on this earth, Jesus. So as we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, before we go there, I just want to do a little review here, and I'm going to let the adults off on this one because I want to talk to the confirmation students. Yeah, whoa. Here is the question. We've been following Jesus to the cross each time on a Wednesday night. Where did we start?
On a Wednesday night.
Well, the name of the message on that Wednesday night, the first one was what? It's a place. It's a place. You're close. It was the road. Remember? The road that he rode into Jerusalem on what? Okay, good. It was a little young donkey that had never been ridden before. Okay? So the Wednesday, the second Wednesday in Lent, we went from his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What was the message on the second Wednesday night? No, it was not the room. Were you guys really here?
I think so. I think.
Well, yeah, I know you were here, but it was the temple. That was the following week. Last week it was the room. But he went from riding into Jerusalem, the road, and then from there he went to the temple. And he chased out the money changers. Remember? And now tonight, it's what? The place is what? The garden. Very good. You read it on your paper, didn't you? I thought so. I know. Use your resources. That's a good thing. So we're looking at the garden tonight. So we're just kind of following Jesus on his way to the cross. We've got a long ways to go. We're not going to get through everything. But I want us to think about the garden because it was a place where it was peaceful. And the garden was located at the base of the Mount of Olives. There's not much there today, but there is a few olive trees there. Very old. You can tell they're very old trees. The rest of Mount of Olives today is a cemetery. It's just full of graves. But Jesus came down the Mount of Olives, went across the Kidron Valley, up into the city of Jerusalem, and where the upper room is located at, he came back to go down to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's probably a good mile long. So it was a hike from going from the upper room down to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane did not have a lot of flowers in it. It was there because it was an olive grove. There's olive trees there. Now, what does Gethsemane mean? The word Gethsemane means what? Good guess, but no. It means an olive press. How did they get the oil out of olives? They would take stones, big stones, and stack them where it would put pressure on the olives to bring out the olive oil, and the oil was used for cooking or kind of for lighting up places, like an oil. But Gethsemane means olive press. And so it begins, that's where you see the pressure. And we think of Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he's starting to feel the pressure. It's one of the places where he really suffers the most is the garden as well as on the cross. Because he knew that he had to drink this cup. And he didn't want to really do it, but then he said, not my will, but your will be done. It's just a reminder to us, there are times in life, and I think most of the times in life, the things that you don't want to do become the biggest blessing. And a lot of times you go like, man, why was I so afraid to do that? Or why didn't I want to do that? Maybe you've experienced that too along the road of life. The biggest blessings come in places that you never thought you'd be blessed. Sometimes it could be like going to a nursing home to see someone there. It's like, that's the last place I really want to go. But when you go and see the person, you go like, man, I think the person ministered to me more than I did for him or her. And life is kind of like that, isn't it? I mean, who'd want to teach these students for confirmation? Anybody want to raise your hand? You want to teach these kids? See? Oh, there is one or two. Oh, there's three. You know? And there might be four. So I just want you to see that it's not for everybody. But I love you guys.
I love you too.
Do you? Oh, man. That's probably the end of the message then tonight, huh? Thank you, Carter. I think I'll give you a ride home tonight then. Yeah. So here we have the image of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane amongst the olive trees. They're not very tall trees. And he went after he told Peter, James, and John, you guys stay here. I'm going to go a little bit further away from you, but let's just pray. And he's just wanting them to kind of to pray. And when he came back, what did he find his disciples doing? Playing cards? Watching the Final Four? They were sleeping. And he kind of woke them up and went back to pray, and when he came back the second time, what did he find them doing? They were doing a Dean Ramsey. I saw Jeff's finger going like this. You know. No, I didn't. But when came back the second time, they were doing the same thing. They were sleeping. Jesus left them after he woke them up and said, you know, can't you just pray with me for a little while here? And so Jesus went back and he prayed some more and he came back the third time. What did he find his disciples doing? Same thing. They were sleeping. And so he finally says to them, get up, let's go, because here comes my betrayer. Because there's a large crowd of people coming down the side of the hill on the other side of the Kidron Valley there, and they would cross that valley and they'd come into the Garden of Gethsemane. They were led by who? Judas Iscariot. Because Judas knew where Jesus would be, because it was a familiar place where he would meet his disciples. Was in this garden. But he gave them a signal. He said, okay, the guy that I go and I kiss, that's the one you arrest. Now they've been wanting to do this for a long time, right? And now they have one of Jesus' very own disciples who's going to betray him and turn him over. They're going to get the right guy. They've tried many times before, but they were afraid of the people. But here it's nighttime. It's around midnight when this is taking place. It's in the dark. And so the pressure increases some more when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane where he gets arrested and the betrayal of the kiss by one of his very own. You know, before this, they were in the upper room and they had the Last Supper together. They even sang a song together. And it's where the place where Jesus instituted the words. There we go. Instituted the words that we know today in communion. What did Jesus tell his disciples in the upper room that goes along with our communion? Huh? Go ahead, say it there, Carter. That's not what he said. What? You're writing on your leg. Good night. Remember Jesus held up the bread? It was unleavened bread because it was the Passover. The Passover we did here was last Thursday. I mean, tomorrow night. And he said, this is my body. Eat it. You know? And when he picked up the cup that had the fruit of the vine in it, he said, this is my blood given for you. It's a covenant that he has given for the forgiveness of sins. In order to do this until he comes again. So it's something that he's starting, it has never been done before, and it really made people scratch their heads like, how can he say this? It almost sounds like cannibalism. But Jesus is beyond that. So they left the upper room. They walked to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they got to the Garden of Gethsemane, what did they do when they got there? It was a long walk, about a good mile, to walk down to this place from the upper room. Did they make a campfire? Did they have s'mores? No. Did they crawl into a tent and into their sleeping bag? Yes. They did not. No. They didn't have those. Huh? No, they just stopped there. I mean, that's where they met. They met in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where they prayed. And Jesus began to feel the weight, the pressure of the sin of the world that was coming upon him, that he came to finish the mission that God had given to him to be the Savior of the world. It's the only way forgiveness could ever come to us, is for him to go through this. And we're not going to cover all the things that he went through, but there are a lot of things that he dealt with, that happened to him on this night. And remember, he has had no sleep this whole day, and now he's at midnight, and he's not going to sleep at all during this night or the next morning, because he gets crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And even the centurion was amazed that he died so quickly, because they had to break the legs of the two thieves on each side of him so that they could not force themselves up to breathe, to get any breath. And he came to Jesus. The centurion said, kaput. He's already dead. And just to make sure, he had took a spear and he stuck it into his side. And out came water and blood, as the scripture says. He was already dead. But we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks here. So it is here where Jesus prays, where we hear, where he says, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Not as I will, but as you will. He always wanted to do the Father's will. Every time. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as the man of sorrows. It's only the beginning of what is in this cup that he drinks. And when he drank out of this cup, it was because he loves us and he cares about us. And even his best friends failed him here in the Garden of Gethsemane. They failed in not staying awake. They failed in not praying when he asked them to pray. They failed in resisting the temptation. The temptation was to stay awake and to pray. And then they failed again when it says that all of his disciples, they abandoned Jesus. They all ran away. They all hid into the night, into the dark, except for Peter. I don't know if you remember this, but there's an account where when Jesus, at the at the Last Supper, he says to his disciples that there's one of you here that's going to betray me tonight. And it was Peter who says, even if all fall away on account of you, Jesus, I never will. That's where we get, don't ever say never. If you say never, that's usually what will happen. I said, I'll never live in Iowa. Guess where we're at? Iowa. Anyway, Peter becomes Jesus' focus, and he says to Peter, I tell you the truth, this very night before the rooster crows, Peter, you will disown me not once, not twice, but three times before the rooster crows. You're going to disown me. Peter would have argued with him and said, that's not going to happen with me. Maybe the other disciples, but not me, Lord. You know me. I'm kind of your big bodyguard here, and I'll take care of things. I will not fail you. But we find that Peter did run away. And he stood in kind of hearing distance of where they took Jesus, because they took him back to Caiaphas's palace. And that's where the kangaroo court took place. But it also involved Pontius Pilate, who was a friend to Rome. And it was only Rome that could carry out the crucifixion as capital punishment. That's why Pilate had to become involved. The Jews, capital punishment, they could have that in their own court, but it was only through stoning. Throwing rocks, killing people by stoning them. And they did not want to do that. They wanted to have Jesus crucified. And that's why they included Pilate and then Herod Antipas, who was in town. And both Pilate and Herod Antipas became good friends this night, or this, in the next morning, I should say. So it's really interesting where you kind of see the evil that's at work and that's at play in the background in all of this to come and attack Jesus Christ. When we go to the Garden of Eden in Genesis, we find that the first man, who we know as Adam, and Eve, they failed God, didn't they, in the Garden of Eden. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, all his disciples failed him. But the second Adam, who is Jesus himself, he's victorious in all that he does. He's the second Adam. And I just want to say that Jesus did all of this for you. And for me, it's just one little thing in the whole big picture of him suffering, sorrow, enduring rejection of one of his own disciples, but he did it for us. So next week, we're going to meet Thursday night. Same time, but we'll have communion after the message. I hope you can make it. You did good tonight, Marshall. You did good. I'm not sure about you yet, Carter, but you're okay. James? Hot dogs, you have to come to my house to get hot dogs. We'll make them there. And Lila, you did good. We'll meet in my office afterwards, and we will go through this half sheet, make sure you get all the right answers in there, and talk about confirmation. Confirmation, by the way, was decided will be the first Sunday in May. That's May 4th, right here. We moved communion to Mother's Day, which would be the following Sunday, so that we can get the kids, have them confirmed. And I think they will all be here. Right, McKenna? Okay. Hopefully we'll all be here. Nope. We'll talk about that in my office, okay? So let's pray before we sing the last song together. It's in your bulletin, softly and tenderly. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you went to a garden that was filled with a lot of sneaky snakes in the grass, evil kinds of things, and had disciples who fell asleep, did not join you in praying, and it sounds a lot like us. We can say a lot of things, but we have a hard time carrying them out, no matter what it is in life. So Lord, we're here tonight where we can just say, you know, forgive us for not being the kind of person that you'd want us to be. But thank you for going to the cross, for not saying, I quit, I'm not going to go to the cross anymore, I'm done, I've had enough of this suffering and this pain and torture that's going on in my life. It's too much for me, I'm just going to get out of here and forget the whole thing. Thank you that you didn't do that. Because you have a love that is beyond our comprehension. And it's the love that we need, and that you'll give so freely to anyone who would come to believe and trust in you as their Savior. So just thank you. May we go home tonight thinking about the garden and all that took place there for us. May it have an impact in our souls as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I've sung this song many times to people who have been dying. And I personalize it at the end where it says, "Oh, sinner, come home, I say their name. Oh, Richard, come home. Oh, Sally, come home." It's probably the last song they heard. But some of the family would be standing around in a room, and sometimes there was just me and that person. And then to hear that they died sometime that evening or that morning or that day. I was thankful to be able to let them know and hear about Jesus at the very end, what he's done for them, and for them to hold on to him by faith. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together in closing here tonight. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming. I'll meet with the confirmation kids in my office for just a bit. And if Karen wants to be there, or Wayne wants to be in there, that's fine too.